All he remembers of the incident is that for some reason he couldn't stop laughing, almost like he was out of control. And his best friend was bleeding from the forehead. And it wasn't until later that evening that he found out exactly what had happened. Was that he had taken a pellet gun and shot his best friend in the forehead. And fortunately, his friend wasn't seriously hurt. He had nicked him in the forehead, and he did need a few stitches. But fortunately, it could have been worse. Still, he was scared because it had happened again. You see, last year he experimented with a drug with a street name called acid. And as a result, he experienced flashbacks, or what I feel is more appropriately called blackouts, where he would just black out for a period of time and become violent. And he was scared. As he was telling me these things, I noticed he was somewhat nervous and somewhat tense. And I asked him, "How do you feel about this? How do you feel about these things happening to you?" He says, "It really scares me, because I don't know when it's going to happen again." Unfortunately, he's on some medication that helps control it now. This teenage boy lives in fear. He lives in fear of himself. And he's not a street kid. He lives right here in Markham, not even too far from where I live. And he lives in torment that maybe someday these blackouts might start happening again. And in hearing this story, hearing him tell me these things, it reminded me of this story about King Saul. That King Saul lived through a type of torment as well. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to that passage that Winston read for us, 1 Samuel chapter 16. And you can follow along, excuse me, a little easier. To give you a bit of background to this incident in the Bible, King Saul was Israel's first king. The nation Israel had asked the Lord to give them a king because the other nations did. Because the other nations had a king, and so they wanted one. The Lord spoke through Samuel the prophet, and he warned the people, but they still asked for one. And so the Lord gave them what they wanted. And Saul started out as a pretty good king. He started out all right. But he made a few mistakes along the way that didn't please the Lord at all. And one day in talking with Samuel, Saul was told that the Lord would tear the kingdom away from him and give it to somebody else. That someone else was to be David. But Saul didn't know this at this point. In verse 14, it says that the spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul. It says, and an evil spirit from the Lord was tormenting him at this point. We're not going to get into all this about an evil spirit tormenting him, or else we'd be here all evening. But the point is made here is that Saul is living in some sort of torment at this point in his life. And so his attendants say to him, why don't we find somebody who can play the harp? That will help soothe you or help relieve you of this torment. And Saul says, okay, that sounds like a good idea. That would be something really good. And one of his attendants speaks up and says, I've heard of this young guy in Bethlehem named David. He plays a mean harp. Says, why don't we call his agent and see if he's available for a few nights? He can play at the palace here. Sort of like a royal command performance here. So Saul says, great idea, go ahead. And so they summon David, and they bring him to the palace, and they have him play for King Saul. It says in verse 21 that David came to Saul, entered his service. Saul liked him very much. David became one of his armor bearers. And in verse 23, it tells us whenever this evil spirit would come upon Saul, it says Saul or David would play the harp. Saul would feel relief, and the evil spirit would depart. And so Saul was dealing with this kind of torment in his life. And he had David to play the harp for him, to help relieve him of this torment. And it makes me think of that young boy who suffers from these blackouts. It made me think, Who's going to play the harp for him? Who's going to bring relief to this young boy? And only being able to contact him on a very limited basis, I thought, I might be that only person. I really hope I'm not, but I might be the only person in this world who can help bring relief to that young boy, who can play the harp for him and help relieve his torment in one way or another. I think of another young man I know whose father left the family after he beat his wife. What happened is, after beating his wife, he then pressed charges against her because she tried to defend herself. He didn't come back for several months, and when he did eventually come back, he was like a zero in the home. He just came back and existed, did his own thing, went to work, and came home, and didn't bother with any of the kids. And as far as I know, that's still the situation right now. And I've met with this young man a few times, and what he has had to do in his father's absence, and you could still say in his father's absence, is he has had to support his family while still going to school at the same time, and in a way be a father to his younger siblings. And he said to me, he goes, I feel like I've missed out on my teenage years. You know, the teenage years are supposed to be a good time. And he says, I feel like I've missed out on them because I've had to do a lot of things that my dad should have been doing. And I really resent him for that. He says, I feel like he's a stranger in my house. I don't know him at all. And again, the thought came to me. He said, this young man is living in some sort of torment. He's a believer, but he's dealing with some sort of torment in his life. And I thought, who's going to play the harp and help relieve him of his torment? That's another young man that's right in our town. Again, it reminds me somewhat of the story of King Saul. King Saul had David to play the harp for him and bring relief. And there's people that you and I know that we come in contact with every day of our lives, whether it's at work or our neighbors. And a lot of them are living in some sort of torment. Not necessarily any sort of evil spirits or mental illness, but they're dealing with some really hard things in their life. And who's going to play the harp for them? Who is going to help bring relief to them? It makes me wonder, because like I said, there's a lot of people who have some serious hurts in their lives. Maybe they have some real serious things that they're dealing with in their past, in their background, their childhood. Maybe they have a lot of unanswered questions in their life. Maybe there are people who continually ask the question, why? Why, God? Why? And I'm sure they can fill in the blanks. Why, God, did this happen? Why, God, is this the way it is? Elaine and I have been married for a grand total of 4 weeks. On Tuesday, it will be our 1 month anniversary. I'm looking forward to many more. And what happened when we came back from our honeymoon, we had a letter waiting for us from one of Elaine's relatives. It was a cousin of her father's who had come. And I just want to read just one paragraph that she wrote that I thought was really special. She's not a believer. And she writes this letter more so to Elaine. She says, to be quite honest, my upbringing contained no such religious base, though appearances may suggest otherwise. She says, I'm still an agnostic or a fence sitter. I believe it's time to do something about this, actually. I'm not sure what, though. How does one, after a lifetime of questioning, just start to believe? I honestly don't know. Maybe I'm asking the wrong questions. I'm open to suggestions. That's just a small part of the letter she wrote to us. And again, it made me think. She has some serious, unanswered questions in her life. She is dealing with some serious questions and living in some sort of torment, where she really doesn't know what the meaning of life is. And unfortunately, she lives way on the other side of the city. She lives over near Mississauga. And we really like to be in touch with her and stay in touch with her, because Elaine and I are wondering, who else is going to be able to play the harp for her? She says her upbringing may seem to be religious, but it wasn't. And I really thought, it doesn't sound like it's going to be your parents. I thought, who is going to play the harp? Who is going to bring relief for her and answer some questions that she has about life? And how are we going to play the harp? Because like I said, we all know people who are living in some sort of torment. It may be by simply giving that person a hug. Maybe sometimes that is all they need. Maybe they want to be told that they are loved. Maybe they don't have somebody in their own life to tell them that they are loved. Maybe they need somebody who can merely be a good listener and will sit down with them and do nothing but listen and listen to them. Maybe they need somebody to bring them to Jesus Christ and introduce them to Jesus Christ. When Elaine and I were on our honeymoon in Florida, we saw a bumper sticker and said, "When all else fails, you can hug your teddy bear." And I thought that that was so cute, that when all things fail in life, that you can always hug your teddy bear. This is one of Elaine's extensive collection. But sometimes people need a little more than a hug. They need to be brought to Jesus Christ and introduced to Jesus Christ so that he can hug them and tell them that he loves them. Because sometimes your teddy bear just doesn't cut it. And that is my challenge to you this evening, is who are you going to play the harp for? And how are you going to play the harp? It says here that David was hurt. David was known for being a skillful player. One of Saul's attendants knew that. And are we going to become the type of people who are known for being able to bring relief to people who are in torment? People who need to know Jesus Christ in a real and dynamic way, just as we know. How will you play the harp for someone else who's in torment? Thank you for the time. May God be praised.